song as I ever heard.
Amen.
God forbid it ever be perceived by Jesus Christ that it's not a big deal to us.
Amen. Yeah, amen.
We ought to keep our guard up at all times to make sure that we never, ever, ever leave that impression on our Lord. Yeah. God forbid it ever be perceived by a lost and dying world that it's a small thing.
Right.
What Jesus did and what we got in on.
Amen.
By faith, God forbid we ever just be another social organization.
Right.
I was in a few before I got saved. I got no need for any of that.
Right.
I need to be where it's real.
Amen.
And I sure do thank you for letting us come here. We feel right at home. And that's the beauty of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because what we have in common is bigger than any conceivable possible difference.
That's right. Amen.
That Sunday school this morning was outstanding.
Amen.
One of the blessings, we're traveling, I'm preaching all the time. My wife's probably tired of hearing me preaching. But sometimes we go to a place where we do get to hear at least a Sunday school hour given, and it is a blessing. And I was not disappointed this morning. Would to God that a whole lot of people that I know in churches I preach at could hear that message. And I'll be pointing them to the website. Amen. I don't say that to flatter Brother Stephen. It made an impression on me. We live in a day and age where many even independent Bible-believing churches are tolerant of things in the name of love. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
Amen.
Amen. Bible says you know the truth, and truth shall make you free.
Yeah, amen.
Freedom's a big deal to an American. Ought to be. Amen. So I got a little note out of that, and I'm going to use it. Complacent towards sin. Complacent equals complicit. Complicit with sin. Is sin.
Yeah.
Amen. All right. Take your Bible this morning. Go to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Please do not blame this cold spell on us. Just because we're Yankees and came down here from Ohio. If we go somewhere and the weather gets better, nobody ever gives us credit for that. But if it gets 5 degrees colder, the Spurgeons brought it with them. No, we didn't. We were trying to get away from the cold. We didn't bring it. We were not trying to share that. Amen. Still nicer than it is at home right now, so I'm glad to be in Texas. Amen. Romans chapter 14 and verse 11, Paul writes this, for it is written, where? Right there.
Amen.
Aren't you glad we have the Bible?
Amen.
I'm glad. Well, Grandma said, as I live. No, it's written right there. It's in the Bible. What we've got is founded on what the Bible said.
There it is. Amen.
Amen. That's a big deal to me.
For it is
written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me.
Yes.
And every tongue shall confess to God. Now, I went to Bible Institute, local church Bible Institute, while I was on federal probation. They didn't teach Greek or Hebrew there. They didn't teach it. Some places do. I didn't get it. Amen. So I don't know what the Greek or Hebrew would put there for every, but in the English, every means every.
Amen.
Isn't that good? This Bible isn't hard to understand. People are hard to understand.
Yeah.
It says, shall confess to God. Confess. Confess what? Well, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 11, Paul wrote this, and that every, there it is again, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
To the glory of God the Father. So according to Paul's verse there in Romans 14, every knee shall bow to the Lord Jesus, every tongue shall confess that he is who he says he is.
Right.
The, everybody that's in hell right now is a Bible believer.
Yep.
They know
that's right.
He is who he said he was. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. Everybody in hell right now knows that what Jesus Christ did on Calvary was the only way to get forgiven. They know. Amen. I'm glad I know. I'm glad someone came and told me. Amen. I am glad and happy to be able to confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Amen. So Paul says that in verse 11, and then he says this, verse 12. This will be our text. So then, based on that, because every tongue's gonna, every knee's gonna bow, every tongue's gonna, so then, every one of us, this is an epistle written to a church. Just like what we saw in Sunday school this morning was an epistle written to a church. This is what Paul writes to the church in Rome. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And by virtue of the fact that the Holy Spirit of God had it included in this inspired word of God, it's written to me and you the same way. This applies doctrinally to us. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Father, again, we come to you in the magnificent name that is above every name. And pray and ask, Father, you just see fit to continue to meet with us. Thank you for a good start. Good start this week, good start to this day. And I pray and ask, Lord God, that everything will be according to thy will and acceptable and pleasing in thy sight. Pray the word of God would land on good ground this morning, whatever the need that might be here today. There's Christians that need to be encouraged and edified, God. And there's people here maybe that are wandering. They need to come back, get it back. They're in church. Praise the Lord. Pray they get into more than just church this morning. Father, I pray, God, for the soul in here that may be searching, that's not saved, not born again, but knows that, well, there's a reason to be in church. The reason is to meet Jesus Christ personally. Pray that might happen this day. Pray that for this week. God, thank you for those that are here, and please bless them for their kindness to my wife and I for quite a few years now. And the responsibility is great, and I'm not up to the task. So, God, I just confess publicly, this is just going to flop if you don't see fit to bear witness to it. And I pray that you would. For the glory of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Again, when brother asked me the title of the message, I said, the end of the road. This message will be called the end of the road, because this is what's going on at the end of the road. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Whatever you do between now and then, eventually, every one of us is going to give an account of ourselves. Everyone, again, this is deep. It means, you ready? Everyone. I know, it's so hard. This King James Bible is so hard to understand. Everyone means everyone without distinction. That Bible says God is no respecter of persons. We are. We got judgments going on in our head every time we hear something on the news, every time we see somebody walk into a restaurant, every time somebody cuts us off in traffic. I mean, it's part of the human nature. The wheels are turning, and usually they're not turning in a good way. But God's not like that. God is 100% fair. God is just, and God is no respecter of persons. And I'm glad of that, because if he was, he wouldn't ever bother to save somebody like me. Amen. It says every one of us shall give an account, and it's everyone without distinction. It's everyone without exception. Amen. There's no way around it. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved. Doesn't matter if you have, been in church since you're 3 years old and can recite books of the Bible. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you have won people to Christ, preached on the street, even gone to the mission field. It doesn't matter. There's no loopholes. Right. When it says every one of us shall give an account of himself to God, I'm just telling you, I'm warning you, I'm just re-emphasizing something you already know, that at the end of this life, there's an accounting that's going to take place. And it says, shall give an account of himself. I'm not going to give an account for Susan Spurgeon. She's going to do that. I'm not going to give an account for you. I'm not going to give an account for the people that have offended me. I'm not going to give an account for the people that I've offended. I'm not going to give an account for the people that aren't living the way I think they ought to live. I got opinions about all that stuff, and I'm constantly trying to keep them under the blood. Amen. When my flesh starts to go places it shouldn't go, but I know this. That Bible says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what we need to emphasize and concentrate on this morning, our relationship with God. And if we're right with God, and instead of looking over and saying, well, I hope they hear this, I hope they act on this. What about you, sir?
Amen.
What about you, ma'am? Amen. Why in the world can you tell me why we're so prone to be worried, so worried about other people? When this is in our direct future, we're going to give an account of ourselves. And it says, give an account of himself to God. Remember him? Remember the one that knows our frame? Know him that remembers that we're dust, that knows every detail of our life? Amen. That's who you're going to give an account to. And the reason I emphasize that is because listen, there's people I'm glad I don't have to give an account to. There are things people don't know about me. Amen. Amen. I'm glad they don't know. Amen. I can deceive other people. I can deceive myself. Bible warns us about that in Jeremiah 17. You got a deceitful heart.
Amen.
But I'm just reminding you this morning, him with whom you have to do knows every detail of your life.
Right. Amen.
He cannot be tricked. He cannot be deceived. He knows every detail. That's who it is, amen, that you're going to give an account to. Amen. You're going to give an account to God. Now, to give an account means you're going to answer for some things. Amen. Now, I grew up in northern Ohio, and my dad was a carpenter. He worked hard, and I grew up in the 60s and all the hippie stuff and all that stuff, and rock music was taking off, and I figured early on in high school, I did not want to work all my life as hard as my dad did. Now, we need money, so when an opportunity came to go to a vocational high school across town, I went and kind of was checking it out. And they taught carpentry, and they taught plumbing, and they taught electronics and electricity, electrician stuff. But they had a class that got my eye. It was called accounting. Accounting. And I wasn't good at math, amen, especially. And I didn't feel led to, I didn't think that'd be fun or anything, but I thought, man, go to an office, air-conditioned office, amen, amen, not sweat, just, that's gotta be easy. That's easy way, to make a living. Good living, too, from my understanding. Maybe we got an accountant in here, too. My understanding, accountants get paid good. I thought, man, that's me. 11th grade, I made a career decision. I'm gonna go learn this and play with numbers. And boy, I tell you, after 1 year of accounting, I went back to regular high school. It was a lot harder than I thought. Maybe not physically, but what I found out was giving an account, keeping track of all that, it's serious business. And when you're a lazy kid with the wrong motivations, you get yourself in a lot of trouble. And I got out of that early. I say that to say this. I want to remind you this morning, give an account to God.
Amen.
Is serious, serious business. Amen. So I'll give you some thoughts this morning, some things to ponder, think about. Amen. About things you're going to give an account for. And there's a lot of things. We're not going to even pretend to try to cover them all. But number one, you're going to give an account of your salvation. You're going to give an account of your salvation to God. If you took a poll cross-section across this country, across this county, you'd get a lot of variations in as far as what people thought they needed to do to be saved. Some people add stuff. Some people don't emphasize things. Some people think if you can memorize Kumbaya, you're good. Amen. That's not in the Bible, not my Bible. Amen. But there's a lot of different ideas about salvation. We were in a meeting earlier, well, it was last year, I guess now, in Tennessee, in a very rough area, and the only place to park our motorhome, there wasn't a RV park within 30 or 40 miles And so we're going to park at the church, which I don't have a problem with, but this time we're on the back side of the church. We're in an alley right next to a business that was doubling up as a meth clinic or a meth whatever, I don't know. And there were some very unsavory characters coming in and out of there. And they'd say, well, how do you know, Brother Spurgeon? Because I run with unsavory characters. I knew exactly. She didn't know. I didn't want her to know. I knew exactly what was going on there. And, you know, if that's the only option, and I'm not a coward, and neither is she, I'm thinking, all right, I can't defend myself. I'm a convicted felon. I don't play with guns anymore. And so I really had to trust God to take care of us. But I tried to help him out. I figured I'd help him out a little. I was at an Army surplus store in Tallahassee on my way up there, and I found a metal sign. And it showed the pistol. It showed a hand around a revolver and about this big. And it says, and the words were there, prayer is the best way to meet God. And underneath it said, trespassing is faster. Amen. Yeah, I wouldn't want to meet God under those terms. Amen. John 14:6, turn there. I have to use that sign as an illustration to justify what I paid for it, because once we left there, I just nailed it in the garage. Amen. Amen. John 14:6. Well, when I was lost, I had one similar, and it had a fist around a revolver, and it said, "Never mind the dog, beware of owner." But you don't have to beware of the owner anymore. Amen.
Amen.
John 14:6 says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life."
Amen.
Amen. Doesn't say I am a way. There's a lot of different ideas, but Jesus said, I am the way. It doesn't say, I am the fastest way. He said, doesn't say, I am the best way. Jesus Christ, friend, this morning is the only
Amen.
Way.
Amen.
Well, and I'm not reading into that. The verse goes on to say, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I think that got stuck on there for hardheads like me and you.
Yeah.
Make no mistake about it. He is the only way. The religious way. Ain't gonna get it. Amen. The good person way.
Right.
Doesn't cut it.
Amen.
Listen, if you do much personal work, if you really talk to people out there, if your Christianity expands beyond coming to this church during the appointed hours, if you take seriously that sign over the door that you're entering the mission field out there, if you spend much time talking to people, you'll find out again there's a lot of ideas and a lot of opinions.
Right.
I'm glad the Bible cuts right to the chase and makes it clear. You gotta come. We're talking about salvation of your eternal soul. You gotta come the Jesus way.
Amen.
Or you ain't coming. I saw a sign on a church somewhere, I don't know where it all runs together anymore. Probably wasn't in New Hampshire, but it said, nobody gets into heaven until Jesus gets into them. Yeah. I thought, stop the buzz, write that down. You know, that was profound. And you know, you say, well, we know that. Yeah, I know, but it's amazing to people that don't.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It says this, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, a familiar verse, I'm positive. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God.
Amen.
And then we run verse 9 with it so fast, people probably just think they're connected. It says, not of works, lest any man should boast. You ever think about that? We know we're saved by grace through faith. We know that. We're not saved by works. Amen. But then it says, lest any man, make sure I say it right, lest any man should boast. And God knows people. God, he made us. Amen. And he loves us in spite of everything that's happened since Genesis 3. But he knows this about us. If we could brag about, boast about, how we got to heaven, when we got there, instead of gathering around the throne of grace, watching them four living beasts and them elders, instead of being there doing that, we'd be over in the corner saying, how'd you get here? What'd you do? What'd you give? Where'd you go? Who'd you talk to? It is our nature to brag on ourselves. And he puts up with that down here. Amen. I've been in churches where it felt like the Spirit of God was definitely there. And I understand in Matthew 18 where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst. But I'll tell you what, I wondered if some testimony given by somebody that stood up and started bragging on what they did and what they thought. I'm wondering, was that God that just left? Because God will take off when he stops getting the credit and the glory for what goes on in the church.
Amen.
So we got to make sure he maintains the preeminence at all times.
Amen.
Says, not of works, lest any man should boast. He puts up with our bragging on ourselves down here. He ain't going to put up with it up there. Not for all eternity. Matthew 27, go there. We're talking about giving an account. We're talking about giving an account of ourselves to God. Again, you're not giving account to anybody else, so just try to focus on you and him for a little bit this morning. And point number one is salvation. And buddy, I'll tell you what, point number one in this life is salvation. Because ain't nothing else going to matter. You miss this.
Amen.
Amen. You're going to give an account. Pilate said it, Matthew 27 and verse 22. Let's read that one. Pilate saith unto them, and that's a crowd gathering around demanding that Jesus be crucified. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And it says, they all say unto him, let him be crucified. And I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters, visitors, whatever the case may be, one of these days, every one of us is going to give an account of what we do with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. In your opinion about this or that, it's about him. And Pilate said, what shall I do? He made the wrong decision. And he regrets it. He's regretted it for a long time now. Amen. But every one of us is going to give an account of what we do with Jesus Christ. And really simple. You do the right thing. You recognize him for who he is. You trust him as your savior for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll end up in heaven.
Amen.
And you do the wrong thing. Say, well, I would never deny Jesus. You do the wrong thing and you trust anything besides what he did on the cross of Calvary with the best of intentions, you'll end up in hell.
That's right.
Amen. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God, and you're going to give an account of this thing, this all-important thing called salvation. Amen.
Amen.
Take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We read this verse. I read this verse a lot. I signed Bibles for many years with this verse. Amen. And it's always humbling when a little kid will come in and ask you to sign his Bible. I should have them sign my Bible. I think I got into that for here, 5-year-old that saved and quoting verses here. You need to sign to inspire me.
Yeah.
We ain't nobody.
Right.
But I would sign you 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Things change. When you get saved.
Amen.
Things are supposed to change. Amen. He talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. One chapter over. Stephen and I did not confer this morning. Amen. But the next thing you're going to give an account of is separation.
Amen.
Is separation. That was that one take on it. That was excellent. Maybe this is another 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And Paul writing in the next letter to that same church at Corinth and to you and I by way of the King James Bible. Good place for an amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to milk one out soon. I'm that shallow, I guess. I don't know. It says this, verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, wherefore? And when you see a wherefore, you need to see why it's there, and you look back and you read down from verse 14. You can do that on your own. I hope you do. But verse 17 says this, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's our close relationship right there, isn't it? Amen. And one of the stipulations for that relationship to be what it should be is that you and I have a duty, an obligation, a direction from the Word of God. There's some things we're supposed to separate from. And again, I like that so much because it's sad, but it's prevalent across the country that that's not emphasized anymore. Amen. And it should be. I mean, that's not my opinion. I just trying to go by the book. And God emphasizes it. Amen. And the reason separation doesn't get emphasized much anymore because Christians resist it because it seems like they want to walk a fine line between godliness and worldliness anymore. Amen. And that's why you're considered a legalist in some places if you preach on separation. Amen. Somebody asked me one time, Spurgeon, are you a legalist? And I said, I never thought I'd be asked that. I was a professional outlaw for many, many, many years. And I didn't know how to answer it, but I did say this. I don't know, but are you an illegalist? Yeah. Amen. Are you a child of God who got in on the grace of God, the gift of God, what we sang about? The wonderful, matchless grace of Jesus, but now you're going to do it your own way? You're inserting your ideas, your opinions into things? You better be careful. Amen. Let me help you with that. There is no fine line between worldliness and godliness. They are polar opposites. So you're going to have to make a decision which one you're going to gravitate to. Amen. And God, knowing us, He directs Paul, the Holy Spirit directs Paul to say, wherefore, come out from among them. And be ye separate. Amen. It says in Romans 14, back where we started, it says in verse 5, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. See, we're not legalistic. Right there, I mean, what do you want to call that? Gray area? You want to call that wiggle room? You've got liberty from God to make decisions on your own. But it finishes the verse, some decisions, if they don't violate scripture, but the verse finishes with these words, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Fully persuaded to me means to be sincerely convicted about something. And if you have a sincere conviction, whatever it may be about something, amen, praise the Lord, you have the liberty to do that. You don't have the liberty to judge everybody else that doesn't have the same conviction. But you're definitely able to have that conviction. And I like the idea of being fully persuaded about something. Holy Ghost, in my opinion, Holy Ghost convictions are what differentiates the Bible believer, Bible Christianity, from religion. Amen. We have a personal relationship with Christ. We have an indwelling Christ. The Holy Spirit lives in there. And everything that comes before us as a child of God, we have access to the throne of grace. The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall. And other religions, it never even occurred to them to think about that. They just want to know what their prophet, priest, or rule book says. But we have a personal relationship.
Amen.
Amen. God's given me some convictions about some things. My wife, too. Everybody doesn't share. Amen. And that's fine. But what He's given me, bless God, I'm going to hold to no matter what anybody else does. And if He changed, if I get a telegram from Him saying, okay, that's cool now, I would say, okay, God. But until He does. But I'm not going to let some preacher or some relative or some new teaching on the internet change my standards.
Amen.
Amen. I think that's biblical. I think we're allowed to be that way, right?
Amen.
But you got to give an account. Whichever decision you make, whatever you make your decision, I'm just trying to warn you today, or tell you, not even warn you. I'm just going to really, for this church, I just want to remind you of some things you already know. That's really the case for the whole meeting. Amen? You're rooted and grounded in the Word of God. I know that. I respect that. Amen. I just want to say I feel sorry for people that don't have any convictions about anything.
Amen.
They're just, somebody said one time, Any old dead fish can float downstream. I don't want to be a dead fish for Jesus or anybody else. Amen. People that have no convictions, I'll tell you what they have. All they have is rules. I'm taking from a professional rebel. Rules breed rebellion. Amen. That's why we got all these splits and things branching off for the, I mean, for the last 2,000 years. We got so many ideas on something that if we just all go back to the Bible, we'd be a lot more like-minded than we actually are in under the name of Christianity. Yes. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So I just want to say to you, when you give an account of yourself, now you know you're going, all right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're clear on that. I mean, that's doctrinal to the New Testament believer, what Paul wrote in Romans 14. When, not if, but when you give an account of yourself to God, you are going to get to explain to the Lord Jesus Christ why you made some of the choices you made. And you're going to be embarrassed. I am too. You're going to be embarrassed. I perceive at how many times the I word shows up. And if the judgment seat went like, well, the Lord says, what about this? Well, I thought. And if the Lord was to say, well, what about this? Well, I felt. And these are the things that motivate people because we're so independent. And what about this? Well, I wanted.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, I think a bunch of us, maybe everybody is going to be a little embarrassed at how many times the I word shows up at the judgment seat of Christ. Kind of like over there in Isaiah 14, where Lucifer, five times, number of death, I think judgment seat's gonna go like that. And thank God you will not be brought down to the sides, brought down to hell like Lucifer was. But I don't want the judgment seat of Christ to go like that for me when I got a Bible that tells me that I'm supposed to take some things seriously, maybe more seriously than someone else does. But this is personal, right?
Amen.
You with me?
Right.
So we're going to give an account. It's just a reminder. It seems like a good place to put it in a 10-day meeting. Amen. Just to remind us all, as you hear messages the rest of the week, as you open yourself up to the Holy Spirit of God, Lord willing, bearing witness to any area that needs some spiritual attention in your life, say, okay, yeah, I better take that seriously. God sent this man here. God laid it on this man's heart to preach this, and there's going to be a test. At the end.
Amen.
I think we forget that. Amen. So, and we're going to give an account of our salvation. And boy, you don't want to get that one wrong.
Yeah.
Because there's no do-overs.
Right.
Amen. But you're going to give an account of your separation. And God's merciful and God's patient, but I'm just giving you a heads up. And you're going to give an account of something else. You're going to give an account of your stability. Stability. The Bible says in James chapter 1 verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his way. I know some people, they're a little flaky this way or a little flaky over here. And then I read the verse, I went, wait a minute, if they're like that here, according to the Word of God, that tendency is going to bleed over into every other aspect of their life. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be considered double-minded. Take your Bible, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And let me see. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and it says this verse. Let's look at verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. I'm not good at any of them. I got work to do. Amen. And then it says this, verse 25, in meekness instructing them that oppose themselves. Now the context of the passage, the pastoral epistle written to Timothy, Paul's warning about be meek, meekly instructed, instruct those that oppose themselves. Now the people that he's going to be instructing, not talking about witnessing to, Amen. Not trying to win, not people trying to win to Christ. Look to me like he's talking about people that, well, he's gonna have, he was a pastor and he's gonna have to do some instructing because we need a lot of instructing.
Amen.
And it says instructing them that oppose themselves. And to me, I don't know, but to me, a person that claims to be saved, claims to be forgiven, claims to comprehend what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, claims to know that they're going to end up in heaven, and are bound and determined to walk according to the course of this world, regardless of every message, every admonition, every witness. That they're heading the wrong direction. And God in his mercy gives us chance after chance to turn around. A person that claims to be saved and conducts themselves like Brother Stephen brought out, like a heathen. What better definition of oppose themselves could there be? The Bible word for that is hypocrite, if indeed they really are saved. Okay, but the verse goes on, and there's going to be that. I've seen that. So it goes on and says, I'll read it again. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, that God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. You know what the truth is? Here's the truth. God is always right.
Amen.
Whether you understand it or not, whether you like it or not, if God said it, it's all there is to it. That's acknowledging. There is no, your opinion doesn't matter. You may say, well, the Bible says I should walk this way, but there's that I word again. I think he's right, because he gave us the Bible, and you're wrong.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. And, you know, we live in a day and age, I suppose that term could apply to mankind, the entire human race. It's always been a day and age where people don't like to be told what to do. So he instructs them to meekly instruct. Don't give my opinion. Don't give them your opinion. Give them my opinion. That's what we're to instruct him in the Word of God. And then the verse goes this, in verse 26, and that they may recover themselves. These are the people that are walking, that are opposing themselves, that are walking contrary to even not just the Word of God, but what they claim by claiming to be a Christian. I know people that claim to be Christians and they're not wanting, there's no evidence. And I'm not judging them. God made it so easy. That's not my job. But my job is to call them out. Amen. If you claim to be saved in here and this is it, all you do for Jesus Christ, show up at church once in a while, you got a failure to comprehend going on. And I say that in love. Amen.
Amen.
It says in verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Like Brother Stephen said, I like when somebody else does Sunday school, I can refer to things. God's goal is always restoration. He's given you've been taken captive by the devil. Shame on you. You'll get to the judgment seat. You'll find out. No, God is trying to give us ways to get it right.
Amen.
On this side. And why? Well, because he might use what you learned to help somebody else. Maybe before they get that far. Or maybe to recover themselves. God's goal is always reconciliation. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians 5. That we're to be ministers of reconciliation. Why? Because we've been reconciled to God.
Amen.
Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. Now let me say this. On that verse it said, may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. That should be unacceptable. That you can be going along doing pretty good for a little while and a circumstance can arise in your life. And the devil can reach right in and stick, upset your apple cart. Amen. Anytime he wants. I don't like that. I'm a man. I like to think I'm in control of some aspect of my, I do not like the fact. I do not like the idea of the devil being able to mess me up anytime he wants. That verse sends flags up left and right. I thank you for the warning. I don't want to be guilty of that. I acknowledge here now, God, you're right. I need to heed instruction and not buck it. Because I don't want that. I give myself enough problems. I don't need the devil in there.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 4. Go there. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. Paul says this, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Amen. That's children. We're not supposed to be that. The Lord has given us all, unless you are, then it's okay. The Lord has given us all the tools necessary to get off the emotional, drama-driven roller coaster that it seems like more people in this day and age, including the body of Christ, just love to be on. Amen? I don't like drama. I like to know what's going on. Amen. I don't want to be tossed to and fro. I'd rather be the one tossing. Amen. And I don't like that. I'm going to tell you something about drama. And again, it is prevalent, to the embarrassingly prevalent in the churches of Jesus Christ these days. And I'm going to tell you what drama is rooted in. Attention. People want attention. So they find some way to make themselves a victim, to come up with some excuse that they're, to make them an exception. You're not the exception. You're a sinner, and if you're saved, you're saved by grace, and you're in a sinner, and you're not saved, you can be saved by grace. Amen.
Amen.
If you're saved, your sin debt is canceled.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. But I gotta tell you, before I move on, you will give an account of your stability. Amen. Or lack thereof. Amen. Say, I don't agree with you. I don't agree with me either sometimes. But I agree with that book.
Amen.
All right, next. Everyone's favorite. Let's go. You're gonna give an account of your submission. Everyone's favorite word, right? Here's what I've learned. Men don't want to submit to their pastors. Doesn't matter that it's in there. Hebrews 13, if you really want to challenge me. Men don't want to submit to pastors. Amen. Wives don't want to submit to husbands.
Amen.
I don't want to hear amen from the husbands right there. You'll be like me. You get yourself in trouble. Amen. They don't. Children don't want to submit to parents. It's true whether you amen or not. I don't care. A student don't want to submit to teachers. People don't want to submit to the law enforcement. Trust me. I know. Amen. Here's why. Nobody wants to submit to anybody. We don't. People don't want to be told what to do. I don't. So when I say you're going to give an account of your submission, this is what I'm talking about. Take your Bible and go to 1 Peter chapter 5. This isn't a lesson on all those things. There is a lesson there, but not today. 1 Peter chapter 5, look at me in verse 5. Here's what Peter says. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And then it says this, yea, all of you be subject one to another.
Amen.
Submission I'm talking about is submitting yourselves to brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. And it says, and be clothed with humility. That's what will keep you from being subject one to another. Amen. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. One day I looked at a verse and it's in Proverbs a couple times. It said, before honor is humility. And boy, it hit me like a train. And I'm in church almost every week somewhere in the country for many years now. Know a lot of pastors. My privilege to work with pastors. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a shepherd. I'm more like a sheepdog. Amen. Shepherd cares for the flock, feeds the flock, protect the flock. The sheepdog runs around, barks, growls, nips at their heels, try to keep the flock in line. That's my job. I don't know why God would give me a job like that. Let me tell you something about a sheepdog, though. A sheepdog would never, ever, ever hurt a sheep that shepherd loves and will lay down his life for. And if a sheepdog does, guess what? That shepherd will get rid of that sheepdog. And so it goes with evangelists. And you bring a preacher in here and he hurt the flock and it said of them, it took me 6 months to straighten out the mess he made. I've heard that over and over. I don't ever want to be guilty of that. Amen. I'm mindful of my position. And it is an honor to serve God in any capacity. It's an honor to be an usher. I used to be an usher. It's an honor to hand out a tract. It's an honor to serve God. And that book says before, honor is humility. And that's what's keeping some people doing a lot more for God than do. This helps me. Take your Bible, go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. And it's also written to a church. Let nothing. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3 says this, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. But in lowliness of mind, let each, written to a church, let each esteem others better than themselves.
Amen.
That's the key to unity in the church of Jesus Christ. That's the key to bringing glory to Jesus Christ, because only in Jesus Christ can we even begin to do that.
Right. Amen.
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 Amen. Our carnal nature would never permit it. Are you saved?
Amen.
You've got a supernatural nature that bears witness to that verse he just gave you.
Amen.
Amen. I'm talking about the importance of you and I as brothers and sisters in Christ to submit ourselves one to another so that something can get done in a lost and dying world, in a community that God saw fit to put the church, wherever that is. But for something to get done, we got to work together.
Amen.
You know, you want to be climb the ladder of success, go find someplace else.
Right.
Go find some other occupation.
Right.
But this thing only works if we work together.
Amen.
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 We're going to have to get a hold of that. We're going to have to get a hold of our submission. Amen.
Amen.
And then Romans 12. We're going to give an account of some things, so... just a couple ideas, some thoughts. Romans 12 and verse 1. Familiar verses, no doubt. Romans 12 and verse 1 says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. He sacrificed his life for our sins to keep us out of hell. Amen. Paul says here, this isn't a command, it's an ask. I beseech, amen, I beseech you to live for God. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, the Bible says the love of Christ compels us. I don't do this. I don't quit. I didn't quit doing the things that I quit and start doing the things I did out of fear or guilt. Amen. When I met that Savior and started going to that little church to learn more about Him, I still can't comprehend why He would do what He did for me. I am compelled to try to live for God out of love, and so should you be. Amen. That's why He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies, that you live for God. Like it says in 2 Corinthians 5, that we ought to live for God out of gratitude. We kind of wince at the word sacrifice because it means we have to give up something.
Yeah.
Amen. Everything I can remember, I gave up so many things for God, and that's what put me on the winning side.
Amen.
Now I can't even remember. Oh, I used to do this. Thank God I don't anymore. Amen. But I'm telling you, Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, by Him, Jesus Christ, let us offer the sacrifice of praise.
Amen.
To God. Why is that a sacrifice? Because your flesh would rather brag on itself than to offer praise to God continually.
Amen. Amen.
The sacrifice of praise to God is that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. We ought to do it. We ought to live for God out of love and out of gratitude that He did what no one else could do. Amen. And you don't have to.
Yeah.
But you're going to give an account of the choice you make. Amen?
Amen.
And you're going to give an account of service too. The rest of the verse goes on. He said, I'll read it again. I beseech thee therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service.
Amen.
And that's not meritorious above and beyond the call of duty. So, no, that's just reasonable. If you're not going to hell, you ought to live holy.
Amen.
You ought to live acceptable to God. Well, what is that? What is that? Don't Google. Don't YouTube what's acceptable to God. It's not a secret. Right. It's been in the Bible for a long time in English. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And considering He covered the hard part, it doesn't seem like it's unreasonable to ask us to live for Him. Now listen, you're going to live for somebody. Romans 6 and 16 says this, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Amen.
Amen.
It's your call.
Amen.
It's your choice. Those are the choices. Amen.
Amen.
Sin unto death, obedience unto righteousness. It's up to you. But I'm telling you, it's a decision you're going to have to make. And if you're like me, you got to make it almost on a daily basis. Because the wheels are turning and temptations come, maybe now more than ever, with all the access we have to the internet and every other thing and all the ideas and opinions. It's amazing some of the goofy things I hear, even in church, that people read on the internet. I said, you actually believe all that on the internet? Well, it's documented. You don't want to hear that conversation right now. You might before the week's up. But I'm telling you what, you're going to have to make a choice who you're going to live for. And just a little reminder, when you get to the end of it and God's merciful and God's not going to kill you, maybe not. But at the end of this thing, at the end of the road, it's going to be you and Him.
Yeah.
Amen? And you're going to give an account of yourself to God for your submission, for your sacrifice, and for your service. Let's finish by revisiting salvation. The Bible said, well, let me say this first. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So if something came up on this list or the Holy Spirit maybe bore witness to, because, you know, the Holy Spirit of God is not restrained by a preacher's outline.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
He can be doing something. I've heard messages and I didn't even hear the message, but I heard the message. God was started dealing with my heart. You understand?
Yeah.
Amen. Some of you sometimes are hoping, I hope He doesn't hit on this, because the Holy Spirit might anyway. Amen.
Right.
So let me say this. If something came up, maybe today's message or something else, that you don't want to give an account for, maybe you haven't thought about that for a while. It's easy to forget. The flesh ain't going to remind you. Not about the end of the road. The flesh is only thinking about tomorrow. And the Bible says, take no thought therefore the tomorrow, for the tomorrow. The tomorrow said, take thought of the... I just slaughtered the verse. You know the verse. Matthew 6:34. Yeah. Sufficient of the day is evil thereof. That didn't make up for it, but we'll read it later. If there's anything the Holy Spirit bore witness to that you don't want to give an account to God, or anything the Holy Spirit might have brought, doesn't it make sense to deal with it now?
Yes.
Since we have access to the throne of grace.
Amen.
I mean, doesn't it make sense? I mean, it's not like you're going through the Christian life, as I mature in the Lord and as I understand better, and oh no, I did this, oh I wish I wouldn't have done that. You don't have to say, because He don't forget nothing. But He'll forgive.
Amen.
And wouldn't it be better just, we call it keep short accounts. And when you go into a church service, no matter whether it's a meeting like this or any church service, a Sunday school hour, anything, if the Holy Spirit says, hey, you hear that? You need to do something about that. And that's what you should do, is do something about that. So if you got something going on and maybe the Lord's been dealing with you about, or maybe in your life, or maybe we hit on it today or the last couple of days, well, don't wait till Friday.
Right. Amen.
Deal with it.
Amen.
You'll enjoy the meeting better.
Right.
Of course, we have to find something else you need to deal with. Hopefully. Because that's our goal here. We're not just trying to check a... Listen, if this was just about fulfilling some obligation, I could sit home with my grandkids.
Right.
We want to hear from God.
Amen.
Amen. So let's make it real. And so now let me say it again before I got ahead of myself. As we wrap this thing up, we're talking about giving an account of ourselves to God. Let's go back to point number one. Let's go back to salvation. Let me ask you. Are you saved?
Amen.
Amen. I guess that a bunch of people that said amen probably are. Maybe everybody didn't say amen. And maybe some of you that didn't are. But maybe somebody in here is not. And people come into churches all the time that aren't saved. They're looking, they're seeking, they've been invited, they've been prayed for. And I want to say to you, if you're in here today and you've never been saved, the Bible says this in John chapter 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Christ was talking to a very religious man, a very educated man, a good, decent pillar of the Jewish community, but an honest man who came to the Lord with the question. And the Lord answered and says, he cut right to the chase. You must be born again. He said again in verse 7 there in John 3, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again.
Amen.
Churches are full of, you know, if you spend all your time on the internet or the news, you get the idea that Americans are a bunch of wicked, evil, criminal perverts, blah, 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 all the things they parade in front of us. I'm on the road 28 years I've been on the road, truck stop, backside of nowhere. And I gotta just tell you, most Americans, pretty good people. Get up, go to work, try to take care of their families. Those aren't the ones that make the news. That's why we're deceived. Amen. And I'm here to tell you today that most of the churches that I don't go to, I would say, and some that I have, are full of good, decent, moral people doing the best they can. Amen?
Amen?
You don't have to be saved to be a good person.
Amen.
When we say all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, I'm thinking, oh good, we got some lost sinners in here today, and we're going to tell them how wicked they are, and what sinners they are, and where they're going to burn forever. Well, that'd be kind of a foolish way to ever try to reach anybody.
Yeah.
I acknowledge you might be in our midst this morning and be one of the finest people in the community. But being a good person won't get you into heaven.
Right.
And our duty, our obligation is to tell you that Jesus Christ went to the cross to make a way for your sins to be forgiven. Because, yeah, at the end of the day, we're all sinners. Big sin, little sin, no sin is going to make it into heaven. God's righteous, God's just, God's holy, and God takes sin so seriously. Brother Stephen said it, sin's more important than we give credit to be. Can you think about it like this? I do. God spoke everything into existence. Right? Genesis chapter 1. Amen. Why didn't he speak sin out of existence? Why did he have to give his only begotten son? I'll tell you why. Because sin is a much, much bigger deal than we give it credit for. And sometimes we get saved and it's real fresh in our mind what God delivered us from. And then year in, year out, year in, year out. And we just kind of get used to it and we kind of get numb to it. And that's evidenced by the fact that we don't invite like we should and we don't witness like we should and we don't reach out like we should. We just kind of become complacent. What does that make us?
Amen.
Complicit.
Amen.
Amen. You might be in here today for whatever reason you made it in our midst and you could not raise your hand if I asked for that. Brother Spurgeon, I am not 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I hope so. I want to. I'm a good person. I do my best. I give. I take care of my... I'm glad. Those are all good attributes. But Jesus said you must be born again. For Bible salvation, the Bible said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
He made it easy. He made it up for an old drug addict, drunk gang member like me to get saved in jail alone in a cell at 6 a.m. Amen. I didn't get any religion back then, and I don't have any now, 34 years later. But I got saved because I got born again.
Amen.
Amen. So if you're not sure, you might have a whole lot of ideas of your own and thoughts, but I'm obligated. If you're not sure, you'd go to heaven. God forbid something happened on the way home. Based on the authority of the Word of God. If you don't have the confidence that I have and many of us have, I'm going to tell you what, I can't think of anything more valuable to have in this life than knowing no matter what goes on in Russia or China or the Middle East or Washington, no matter what happens, somebody wakes up and pushes buttons and all this explodes before that mushroom cloud reaches the second heaven. I'll be in the third with God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And that's why I don't get wrapped up in all this foolishness.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so Bible says you're going to give an account of yourself. You Christians, you got the message. There's an altar here. I hope you take advantage of an opportunity to take a couple minutes and pray. Amen. I hope you do. Amen. And but I'm here to say, if you leave here unsaved, if you heard the gospel and you leave again, you will have no good excuse to give to the Lord when you give an account of yourself to God for why you rejected Jesus Christ again. I hope that's not the case with anybody in here. Let's all stand. Head bowed and eyes closed for a minute. Lord, dealt with your heart. Feel free. Pray. Pray somewhere. We got to say that these days because people are reluctant to go to an altar. I don't get it. I'm sorry about it, but it's the way it is. But you can pray somewhere. You can get a hold of God. We're not talking about rituals, but you better talk to God if he's dealt with your heart. Jesus Christ said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And I tell you, this world, Christian or not, will wear you out. And rest always did and still does come from Jesus Christ. There is a peace in his presence that it'll calm the storms of life. Life and storms is almost synonymous. And no sooner than one ends, there'll be another one. That's what I've learned. But I know there's a safe haven, a harbor at the end of this thing, and I've got rest because of that.
Amen.
If you're in here and you've never been born again, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
I'm going to turn this over to Stephen. He's going to do a good job, give you an opportunity to respond to this gospel. There's people with Bibles in here, men, women, boys, and girls. They would be more than happy to spend a few minutes with you and show you what the book says. We're not trying to convince you of anything. We're not trying to get you to join anything. We're not trying to get you to give anything. We're here to tell you that Jesus Christ loved you so much.
Amen.
That he gave his life and redeemed you.
Brother? Thank you, Lord.
Let's turn to number